You're listening to the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Hey, put your foot down and take a look around. Don't like what you see. No, 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 no. Hey, put your foot down and take a look.
They have a ranking for everything. If you go on Wikipedia, there is a ranking of the best presidents.
Who's number one?
What do you think? Take a wild, wild guess.
The number one best president of all time.
And they did, there's like historical data that they went through at different periods in terms of popularity and, I guess, historical significance.
My guess is going to be, and it's kind of cheating because he was the longest president, is going to be FDR.
George Washington.
That was my second
Because he
guess.
Was first, I believe. First. But there's FDR is high on the list. People who were there during really historical times, like Abraham Lincoln, FDR, rank high on a number of these things. But George Washington, I believe, in part because he was first.
That's fair.
There's a whole breakdown if you really want to get into it. It's President's Day. It's also the debut show. Doesn't Jim Rome say, all right, here's the deal. First show, it's like your first beer. Just get through it.
You're and not going to like it. Give us 2 weeks. Check back in. If right. you don't like us after 2 weeks,
in two
it's
weeks,
not for you.
You just got to get the first show. It's like the first day of school. You just got to go. You get it over with. I don't really remember awkward first days at school other than having a lunchbox. And everybody would check you out for your lunchbox. I had a Fat Albert lunchbox when I was a kid. And I wasn't a fat kid, but sure. I probably could have been in a little better
husky?
Shape.
Did you have husky jeans?
I probably was a little husky. I think that was the brand name. That wasn't necessarily the size.
I feel like when you were a kid, I don't know if it was Levi or Lee, but I feel like husky was a size. You could have slim fit or you could have husky, meaning you were just a little chunkier.
No, I
wore those.
No, other probably not. We'll ask your mom later in the week. I just remember the Fat Albert lunchbox thinking it was really cool, but and it was a great show. Now you can't talk about it because it was Bill Cosby, so now you can't even act.
He's ruined a lot of things.
I know. You can't.
Pudding Pops?
You can't even talk. Seriously, can you imagine the corporate room, advertising, marketing room for Jell-O, like when everything went down with Bill Cosby, like, how do we disassociate? Because they were branded together.
Who's America's dad?
It's really sad, isn't it? Momentarily, Mark Lamping, the president of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You see what we did there? We kind of had a theme.
That's Presidents. All you. You're an idea guy, and I appreciate that because I like to come in and kind of just do it. You've actually had a lot of ideas. You and Gardner doing the meetings. I'm not showing up.
Well, we had a group text going, and then after a while, finally Charlie goes, dude, I'm just here to provide snark.
Yes.
As we're going back and forth. I had texted Mozeliak. I said, at some point, we'll get you on, talk about the roster. Obviously, there's a lot going on with the spring. And with the timing of this show, if he doesn't do it this week, he's not going to be able to do it because they're going to be in the middle of games almost every day in February. So
we need some games.
He said, and Mozeliak said, let's just see how the show goes. Wow.
I don't think it's going to last past
day,
the first
I don't
week.
Know. I mean, day one. It is President's Day, and he was the former president of the Cardinals and now the president of our Jacksonville Jaguars. Sure. He is Mark Lamping, St. Louis's own. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
What do you get for president? Do you get the day off because you're the president?
Actually, we had all the kids were down this weekend. You know, they all made the trip, so took the day off and just dropped the last group off at the airport, and it's a beautiful day down here in Jacksonville.
Well, and I was saying earlier that I'm pretty sure your schedule is what, 2 weeks Jacksonville, 2 weeks London every month?
Actually, I'm in London during the last week of every month, but it's really been interesting, not only with the Jaguars. You know, we play an annual game in London each and every year. And then Shad Khan also owns Fulham Football Club, so it's been fun getting involved with that. I'm over there a few days each month during the last week.
All right, we're sort of obsessed with NFL owners in this market. And we had this idea, too, that when Shad owned the Rams, I think, and it may have been more than a week or two, it may have been technically for a couple of months, but that he would have been like the coolest owner. Give us an idea, first time you met him, and what it's been like working for him.
Oh, Shad's unbelievable. That would have been the best thing that could have ever happened for professional football in St. Louis, that's for certain, if he would have ended up being the owner of the Rams. But, you know, Shad's story is the true, you know, American dream. He basically comes to the U.S. with nothing, and now he's one of the wealthiest individuals in the entire world. He's shockingly successful at everything that he's done. And he's very, very down to earth and really cares a lot about the people who happen to work for him. So, you know, I couldn't be more pleased to have Sean as my boss. And unfortunately, Jacksonville's game was St. Louis's loss.
I was saying earlier, one of my favorite resumes, if I could go back, have a different career, and I think a lot of us in media would like to go back and have a different career, but you ran the CBA, you ran the Cardinals, you were at AB, you went and worked for the Giants and Jets, built a stadium in New York in the biggest city in the world, or one of the biggest cities in the world, and then you get a football gig in Jacksonville. What was your plan coming out of high school before you were in SAE, before you went to Rockers? What was the plan?
Well, first get into college, and then get out of college, and then... you know, like most kids in St. Louis, you know, if you really want to please your mother, you either get a job at Anheuser-Busch or become a Catholic priest. So, you know, I ended up at an Anheuser-Busch for a lot of different reasons, and have just been, you know, very, very fortunate all along the line. You know, I worked for great people at Anheuser-Busch. I worked for a wonderful owner in Bill DeWitt and his partners in St. Louis, and the Mara family and Woody Johnson in New York is, you know, some of the more, you know, more famous sportsmen in this country. And then, you know, as I mentioned, Shad Khan. So I've been very, very blessed to be in wonderful situations on multiple occasions.
And was the CBA, was it headquartered in St. Louis for a little while?
Well, it was. That was one of the conditions of taking the job. And I joked a little bit, you know, when they moved the CBA headquarters from Denver to St. Louis. I joked I brought more jobs to St. Louis that year than Freeman Bosley, the mayor at the time. And I joked, you know, I joked about that with him. So, no, it was a very short-lived stop along my career. You know, I resigned from Anheuser-Busch in February of 1994, and then I was brought back as president of the Cardinals on September 1st, 1994. So, you know, spent a good 6 months with the CBA, and you know, they moved their headquarters to St. Louis to accommodate me, and unfortunately, I had a much better opportunity to come my way.
It's a little historical footnote there for you CBA fans. Well, you went to the Cardinals. Now, the younger audience out there thinks of Cardinal baseball and thinks of October playoffs. When you got there, the franchise had been down for a little bit. What was the mindset? Sure, it's a, you know, a civic treasure and a great history and a loyal fan base, but it was probably also a time to kind of reinvent the brand, wasn't it?
Well, it was that. I mean, keep it, you know, when I joined the Cardinals, it was in the middle of the strike shortened season in 1994. In fact, that as baseball fans recall, that was the year that the World Series was called off. So, you know, I started in the middle of the strike, and then that following spring, we had the replacement players, and then the season was delayed and getting started in 1995. But, you know, I think back at the time, there was unfortunately a level of distrust in some respects between the fans and the ownership of, you know, of the team. You know, Anheuser-Busch was an outstanding owner of the Cardinals, but the perception from many Cardinal fans, fair or unfair, was that they were more interested in profits than trying to win. And, you know, that certainly wasn't the case, but that was the perception. So, you know, I was very lucky to be able to get the job with the Cardinals. And it was principally because of the labor situation. You know, my position at the Cardinals in the past had been filled by outgoing labor attorneys from Anheuser-Busch, whether it was Stuart Meyer or Fred Coleman or others. And with the strike, you know, Augustbusch III felt that they needed to bring somebody into the Cardinals that came from more of a sales and marketing background. And, you know, fortunately, I had worked at Anheuser-Busch, had worked in those capacities, and you know, they had some trust in me. So I was very, very fortunate to get that job. I think of all the things that have happened in my career, the most shocking thing that I've ever have happened is, you know, getting that call from Augustbusch III. I guess I was just 36 years old at the time, and, you know, offering me the job to be the president of the Cardinals. And it's like, you know, I thought I was being pranked by someone, because that's just not the type of job kids that grow up in St. Louis get.
And Mark, switching to football, we've been obsessed here, you know, with lease situations, obviously, in St. Louis, with what we went through with the Rams and Stan Kroenke for a couple of years. It seems like you always hear rumors or reports about the the Jaguars and your lease situation? And is it up in the air? What could happen in the future? What is the current status of the lease there in Jacksonville?
Well, we have like 14 years left on our lease. We don't really spend a lot of time, you know, focused on that. I mean, what we're doing is everything we can to have a stable NFL franchise in Jacksonville. We've developed a very, very good relationship with the local government. We're just wrapping up an investment in the city-owned stadium that now will total close to $100 million that that SHOT has put into the stadium. We're opening a new music facility, a 6,000-seat amphitheater opens this Memorial Day weekend, where we have an ongoing relationship with the City of London, and that's going a long way to help generate revenue that's not necessarily available in Jacksonville. And you know, we're planning to stay, and we're planning to be successful here in Jacksonville. And you know, we've made great progress over the course of the past several years. What we haven't done, you know, is put a good football team on the field.
And Mark, it seems like when you watch the games and you see the pools or the cabanas you got there in the stadium, that seems like a pretty cool idea. Whose idea was that? And is that very popular? It's hard to get one of those for a game. We only have 8 or so games a year. I'm guessing that would be something a lot of people would be wanting to do for parties or bachelor parties and things like that.
No, it's very popular, and in fact, it's a little, you know, it's something that we wanted to do to give the stadium some personality, but also do it in a way that's legitimate. You know, we're down here in Florida. Jacksonville's, you know, a beach community, and one of the more historic rivers in the country, the St. John's River, you know, sort of defines downtown Jacksonville. So the response to that's been outstanding. It's been sold out from the first time we put them in there. And the work that we're doing down here reminds me a little bit of a lot of the work we did with Old Bush Stadium. You know, not the current one, but the one before that, where each and every year we were doing something new, whether, you know, back in the mid-90s, it was putting the natural grass in, and it was, you know, changing the configuration of the outfield, and then, you know, doing some things in center field. But we were always adding things to the stadium each and every year. That really proved to be a great way to boost revenue. And, you know, we've been following that playbook a little bit down here in Jacksonville as well, and the cabanas, the pools, the video board, and many other things that we're doing is pretty much the football application of what we did in St. Louis.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because I've seen some of the stuff online down there, and then remembering Busch Stadium 2, the outfield where you put in the pennants and had sort of a historical callback to the championship teams, and then the scoreboard, you know, not an homage to Wrigley Field, but almost like a manual scoreboard up there. I feel like it's lazy now. Everybody, well, just get a new stadium. And yet you seem to have now twice been able to say, all right, look, what do we have here and how do we tweak it? Do you think is it the easy grab just to say, oh, we need a new one?
Well, you have to have, you know, the right partnership. You know, we're, like I said, we're blessed here in Jacksonville that Shad Khan is the owner of the team. You know, not only is he committed to being successful, but he's committed to Jacksonville, and he has, you know, a lot of financial resources, you know, at his disposal. Yeah, you know, when I was thinking about, you know, getting on the phone with you guys today and following what's happening with the MLS in St. Louis and really comparing it to the experience I had in St. Louis when we, you know, it seemed like it took us years to be able to put the financing plan together for the new Busch Stadium in downtown St. Louis and how hard that was to do, and then comparing it to what's happening down here in Jacksonville, things are just so much easier down here than versus St. Louis. Now, you know, Jacksonville is about half the size of St. Louis, but, you know, just from a perspective of city versus county, you know, we all know what the situation is in St. Louis with the city government and the county government. Down here in Jacksonville, you have a consolidated government, so you're just dealing with one entity to try to get things done. And I think St. Louis, like the last, I think the city of St. Louis has a little over 300,000 people, and the city of Jacksonville, you know, has about 900,000. Now, you know, from an overall market, St. Louis is significantly bigger, but if you just look at the two cities, you know, it's a very strong mayor form of government down here in Jacksonville. There's 19 council members, and then you compare that to St. Louis, where, you know, I don't even know how many members of the Board of Aldermen there are right now for a city, for a government entity that's about the third of what Jacksonville is. So, you know, it's so much easier to get stuff done down here. I hope things get done in St. Louis, but you know, sometimes that whole structure, the governmental structure, can be a little unwieldy for people that are, you know, looking to invest.
And you're the perfect person to address that. We talk about it, hey, we got to get city county, and everybody says, oh, you got to get city county to merge, and then nobody really wants to take that lead. But as far as getting stuff done, it, you know, whether it was the Scott trade needed some renovations. Now the MLS deal can't get this passed, and there's backroom dealings, and it's unbelievable how awkward and just difficult it is. And people don't remember the Cardinal fight for the new stadium. You were kind of Bill's guy. You took some bullets too. Mark's got thick skin. Okay, if they're moving the Cardinals from KMOX to KTRS, he'll do it. And unfortunately, when Walt was let go, you were there with Bill. I mean, Mark knows what it's like to get a deal done, whether it's an uncomfortable deal or not. Remind us, the press conference, too, you said, hey, we'll go to Illinois if we have to. People were furious. Remember that?
I do remember that. And
he's like, thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for
I hope nobody's listening in Jacksonville.
Right.
that was a really tough period. But, you know, I think the end result was not only well worth it, you know, it was necessary. You know, Bill DeWitt always wanted to build the stadium in downtown St. Louis. But at the same time, you know, we had to have a deal structure that made sense, because what you don't want to do is end up in a situation that makes things worse as opposed to making them better. And, you know, Bill DeWitt was very creative at the end to get things done. You know, would not have happened, you know, without him and his financial acumen and his commitment and his belief in St. Louis as a baseball community. But there was one other person who doesn't really get a lot of credit. Now, unfortunately, he's passed away, but county executive Buzz Westfall was absolutely critical in getting this deal done. You know, Mayor Slay, obviously, you know, was a tremendous help at the time. I guess it was Governor Bob Holden at the time. But, you know, one of the very early supporters of the plan, and somebody who didn't necessarily have to stick his neck out, was Buzz Westfall. So we knew from the very beginning that St. Louis County was going to be a part of it. You know, that made it a lot easier. Had St. Louis County not been a part of that deal, I doubt we would have been able to get done at the state level or at the city level what ultimately needed to get done.
And what was, remind me, in New Jersey, Jets and Giants, was that all 100% private money?
That was. And that's the beauty of, if you're in one of the world's largest markets and you've got the high concentration of corporate headquarters and you've got a significant amount of wealth that's based in that community, you know, teams can afford to finance things privately. You know, on the other hand, if you're in a market like Jacksonville or San Diego, Oakland, St. Louis, all the NFL markets that, you know, have at one time or another over the past few years been talked about as problem markets, they just don't necessarily have that economic strength that the teams in the big markets do.
Are you concerned at all, though, as somebody in the NFL world now, that, you know, too many markets are getting left in the rearview mirror, whether it's St. Louis or San Diego, potentially Oakland? Is there any league concern? I know you're real involved with league meetings. Is league concern that maybe we can't do this to too many towns and then not have some repercussion?
Well, I mean, obviously, I have a real biased opinion as it relates to St. Louis. You know, born and raised there, obviously it's my home. You know, continue to have very, very close ties to everything about St. Louis. And, you know, St. Louis is a big league town. You know, there's no reason why, you know, the NFL shouldn't have been able to make it work there. But, you know, it's not, you know, it's never easy. And, you know, that's why, you know, I'm so blessed down here in Jacksonville to have Shad Khan as an owner. You know, there's any number of communities, you know, across this country that would love to have the Jacksonville Jaguars relocate from Jacksonville. And all of those markets, you know, just from a strict analytic perspective, probably could be argued that they'd be stronger NFL markets. But that's not what Shad's all about. Shad has made a commitment to Jacksonville. He's putting his money where his mouth is. We're doing everything we can to create auxiliary revenue streams to be able to support the operations of the football team. And we're making great progress. And as I said earlier, that's exactly what would have happened in St. Louis had Shad Khan been the owner of the Rams.
Yeah, it's too bad. And I remember in Houston, the night of the vote, the Rams are gone. It became official. We're at that Houston hotel. Jim Thomas, Nick Wagner, a couple of us are there in the lobby. I think all of us, you know, work was done, having a couple beers, just sitting there talking. And we see Shad Khan walk through the lobby, and he's wearing like a tracksuit. Looks just like a guy that, you know, you'd hang out with. Like, oh my God, that's the Jags owner. We go over, we start talking to him. Probably talked to him for about an hour as he's waiting to get on the elevator. The damn media keeps him from getting on the elevator. And I think Jim Thomas and I figured out about 48 different ways to say, so when are the Jags coming to St. Louis? So the Jags are coming. And everybody said that for about a year. Now, that finally died off. But you had to have. And then when you took the job, we said, oh, here it is. This is the move. Mark's coming with the team. How prevalent was that rumor even in Jacksonville?
You know, not so much in Jacksonville. You know, because Shad, whenever Shad was asked about it, he was very forthright and up front about it. There was probably more rumors before Shad bought the team that the Jaguars were going to relocate to L.A. And then after we announced that we were playing one home game a year in London, not in Jacksonville, but outside Jacksonville, there's probably more speculation that the Jaguars are going to relocate to London. And you know, our focus, it's best measured by what Shad has actually done down here. You know, we're committed to Jacksonville. I mean, why wouldn't we be? You know, Shad is, you know, Florida's a great place to live. You know, it's a beautiful community down here. You know, there's no state income tax. There's a lot of reasons why, you know, businesses, flock to states like Texas and Florida. And to be able to make it work down here, I think Shad sees as a great challenge. And that, you know, that's what those of us around the Jags organization talk about. And again, I run, you know, all the business side, just sort of like I did in St. Louis with the baseball team. But, you know, what we talk about down here is that, can you imagine if we can make this thing work down here? I mean, why shouldn't we aspire to be the Green Bay of the South? You know, now it's going to take a while to get that done, and we're certainly going to have to start winning some football games. But, you know, there's a challenge, but with every challenge comes the opportunity to do something great. And, you know, we're sort of fired up about it down here.
I like how I started with, this guy has the best resume going. If I could go back and have it, and then I get into, remember when you're going to take the team to Collinsville? Remember that CBA? He's like, thanks for that. Hey, one more. If only we had, well, let's see, we had Keith Kachuk in the noon hour, then we had Spencer Koch, and now Mark Lamping. I think we can have a quorum, and we can vote on Old Warson Matters right now if we want to.
I think we could, and I'm surprised they haven't implemented the Kilcoin guest ban. That's where I'd be. That'd be my first order of business.
That actually happened. Spencer took me golfing one time years ago, and at the fairway over, Joe Buck's playing with Doug Waite and Keith Kachuk, and he screams across, "Spencer, we have standards here." And I think that's the last time I was invited back. Hey, Mark, great to talk to you. You've got us now. We're all sad that we didn't get Shad, and we probably still would have had football, but that's a whole nother matter. But certainly the inner workings of the city, the county, trying to get stuff done for not just sports teams. That's what people forget when we get on these rants. It's about business and investment in the city. And it's, I don't know, at some point here, it's going to come to a head if we don't get better at getting things done. I don't think there's any doubt about it. So, Mark, great to talk to you.
Well, thanks, Martin, and I certainly encourage all the NFL fans in St. Louis, keep an eye out for when the schedule comes out this year, because the Rams do make a trip to Jacksonville this year, and
nice.
People want to come down and root against them. We'll make sure people have a great time.
Can I ride on that that Shad's party boat that rolls? He parks next to the stadium.
Can we put a reservation for the pool right now?
Early dibs.
And we'll do it. We'll do it for you guys. No, seriously, Jim Woodcock's been pushing.
That'd be fun.
He thinks we really ought to be marketing to get people to make a trip down during the winter, and particularly this year when you've got the Rams coming in there.
It'd be a lot of fun. Sounds good. Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
Take care. We'll see you guys.
All right.
Mark Lamping with us. See, Charlie, it's President's Day. And, you know, Mark is, I mean, he works in the NFL. If he didn't want to comment on it, he'd be, oh, I don't want to say it, but he'll tell you. If Shad had been the owner, the Rams would still be in St. Louis. I mean, he'll tell you
that. It hurts to hear that.
Right. And if you're a football fan, you're like, oh, really? It's that. Bottom line, you know the story. It's been well told at this point. You know, Enos wanted the money of L.A. He wanted to up the value of the franchise. Boom, got to go. Here's a guy in Jacksonville who's just struggling to make it work. But I like the analogy, and certainly they've lost way too many games.
Are they really struggling, though? I mean, the owner's making money. Shad Khan's making money. In the NFL, there's revenue sharing in terms of the ticket revenue, and the TV packages are so much. Even if a lot of people aren't coming to your games in person, you're still a billionaire.
Right. You get that check. What's the check now? Is it $350 a year, $250 millions or whatever up front? But I've always heard, even when the Rams did the London game, it was like three times the gate or the dollar that they would make on a home game, so that it changed their math. So I understand why they're doing it, but I like the idea. We'll take the show Midday Grind live from Jacksonville
the whole week
and
whole month.
Yeah, the whole week, the whole month, live from
Sponsors
Jacksonville.
Come on board.
Sign that up. When's the schedule come out? I know the NFL Network will do like a 5-hour special. Oh, the schedule is out.
Week 14, Giants at
Eagles.
Redskins.
Oh, let's look
Who
at
you
this.
Got?
All right, quick break here. One of the sponsors is Miller Furniture.
Yes, Miller Furniture. Thank you, Martin. Probably I wasn't like, ready thanks, to yeah. To make my read yet, but I can bring it up on my phone right here. Miller Furniture, fantastic over there in Belleville. Family-owned. It's your home for quality American-made furniture and mattresses. Today until 8 o'clock and tomorrow from 9 to 5, final 2 days of their half-price sale where everything in their showroom is half off the list price. If you're tired of looking at cheap furniture made from particle board and you want to see what real solid wood furniture looks like, make the trip over to Belleville, Illinois. It's not too far for the final 2 days of Miller Furniture's half-price sale. They also have incredible sale prices on recliners, sectionals, and anything else for your living room. And in just a few short weeks, they'll be opening their second location in Lake St. Louis at the Meadows. So stay tuned to the Midday Grind for their official announcements. Mention the Midday Grind, and you'll receive free delivery on your purchase to anywhere in the St. Louis area. Miller Furniture has a great website also, so you can shop online at millerfurniture.com. That's M-U-E-L-L-E-R, furniture.com. You can't always get